Matt Bowen.
Are you ready?
Breaking down the X's and O's of the game. The National Football Post. Twitter.com/MattBowen41. Matt Bowen with Mully and Hanley on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And let's get to the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. You can cook one on the grill in just 13 minutes. And there we find Matt Bowen, he of the Chicago Tribune, covering the Bears and, of course, the NF Post and The Score. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Well, you know, obviously there's some issues in paradise here in terms of the safety position. And, yeah. You know, is this... I guess the question is this. It's been years now, really since Mike Brown in the first part of his career, that they have lacked stability at that position. Is that unusual? Is that something that that you see in other places around the league? I know there's a lot of attrition of schedule, but have you ever seen anything like this? The number of safeties they've had to use, the number of draft picks they've invested in the position, the number of players that end up lining up there on an annual basis?
No, you expect a hit on a couple of those guys. You know, we're not talking first-round pick or high second-round picks, but even with the amount of third-round picks, sooner or later those guys got to hit, and those guys got to become everyday starters, got to become, solid contributors to that defense. You know, the one thing I will say, if it doesn't work out this year, and if Lovey is still back next year, you have to start thinking about investing a higher draft pick in him, because that's what you're seeing around the NFL right now, guys. You look at the top young players, a guy like Earl Thomas from Seattle, Eric Berry from Kansas City. These are first-round picks. That's what safety position is becoming now. It's not, I go back to when I played. It's not like that anymore. You're not going to find a fourth-round, fifth-round, sixth-round strong safety that just takes on block. You're looking for guys that can cover. They're basically a third corner on the field. And to get those guys, those talented guys, you might have to draft a little higher.
Conte's injury doesn't look like it's as serious as Harden's. But do you
really? I mean, did you see what Lovey said? He'll be back eventually.
Eventually, but the other guy's going to have another round of tests in 2 weeks.
Yeah, the other guy could be lost for the year, but this guy looks, it sounds like he has a separated shoulder he's leaving a game with
No, I understand. I mean, he immediately knew he was hurt, but eventually it doesn't, you know, the other guy, again, who came pre-injured. But do you even know when Chris Conte's healthy? A lot of people like what they see. Have you made a determination of how good Chris Conte can be, considering how young he is and how much we've seen of him or haven't seen of him?
I think he can be real good in the NFC North because of the offenses the Bears are going to see. I mean, you look at Green Bay and Detroit, they're going to spread the field. They're going to throw the ball all over the place. And that fits his style of game. He's got great footwork. He played corner in college. And, you know, just watching him during practice, the way he opens his hips, his range, he glides on the grass. He's not a burner. What I mean by that, he's not a 4-3 guy. He doesn't have to be if you play with good technique. You'll get outside the numbers in the middle of the field. He needs to tackle better. Everyone knows that. He needs to take better angles to the football. That's understandable seeing that him struggle a little bit at times as a rookie last year with that. But I watched him a lot during camp. I really like him. But, Molly, you bring up a great point. I mean, he's got a shoulder injury. He's not going to be able to tackle the rest of the preseason. You worry about that going into a season. You worry about little things with shoulder injuries. Is he going to lose some strength during the season? Is it going to limit him in the weight room? You have to put a red jersey on him during practice throughout the season. There's a lot of little things that go with a shoulder injury. To defensive back, you don't like hearing about. The best thing for them is they have to get him healthy. They're going to have to shut him down for a little bit because I like Craig Stelz. I think Craig Stelz is a good football player. He's made a living in this league playing special teams. But Chris Conte is the better option. You got to have him to beat Green Bay.
I'm curious, Matt. The number of injuries the Bears have suffered at the position. I mean, did you go through a lot of injuries in your career? And how difficult is it to keep guys healthy when you're talking about, your receivers are getting bigger, backs are getting bigger, and you got to come up and clean these guys out. And, you know, again, we talk about it like you're the hitter or the hittee, but sometimes when you're the hitter, you can hurt yourself.
Yeah, well, go back to that game against the Redskins the other night, that first hit he had against Santana Moss in that post route. Man, it looked like that hurt too.
Yeah.
I mean, those hits do hurt.
Yeah.
I always tell people, when you see a safety get up and and celebrate after the play, don't kid yourself. He's dying inside on some of those hits. Some of that doesn't feel good, you know. And you wear little league pads so you can run faster. You don't wear any pads in your legs. You know, I'm talking about thigh boards and knee boards, so you run faster. So you do go through some high-speed collisions, and you do take a beating. I mean, you got to think about it. 16 games, if you're a starter for 16 games in the NFL at the safety position, you're basically at times playing like a linebacker, and the other times you're coming from the deep half from the middle of the field, and you got a 20-yard head start, and you're supposed to, you know, put your head down and run through someone. You take a beating. It's hard to stay healthy. It's hard to stay in prime condition throughout the course of the season. But you just have to fight through it. I mean, it sounds stupid, but you're going to play hurt. That's what you do at safety.
Matt, reading your players page at NFPost.com. I know you, like a lot of us, were very excited to see Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler and what they can do for the first time out there in a preseason game. Everyone's very excited about what they did see. And also the offensive line, and I guess the question there is, you know, Mike Tice seemed to be happier yesterday when he talked about it. He didn't call anyone the other player. But obviously they still haven't separated Chris Williams and Jamarcus Webb at left tackle, and there's some other issues on the line that has to be resolved.
Yeah, I mean, they did do some nice things. They used some max protection. The Bears used play action, especially in between the 40-yard lines. And you saw it the other night. They'll use play action, try to go down the field to Brandon. Or it could be all or different throughout the course of the season. That gives them seven guys to block. And if they use it with two tight end personnel on the field, it gives them eight guys to block. Jay will have time to throw the ball then. And you can do that type of stuff when you have Brandon Marshall, when you have Alshon Jeffrey, when you have Devin and Earl, when you got that depth at wide receiver, because you can say, okay, let's use eight-man protection here. Let's run what I call a two-man route. And it's usually two go routes, or a post route and a go route. And so let's take a shot down the field because we have those guys on the outside now, and we can protect our quarterback. Going into Friday night, I'll be interested. Obviously, they're going to have to use some max protection, but I'd like to see some one-on-one blocks. I mean, this is the test you need. I mean, the Giants' defensive front is the best defensive line in football. That's why they won the Super Bowl. You go back to what they did against New England, it wasn't complex on defense. They rushed four guys. It said, our four guys are better than their offensive line. Let's go back there and hit the quarterback. So if you're talking about evaluating a position, like a left tackle position, again, especially in a preseason setting, yes, I know they will game plan this week. They will watch film. They'll do some scout team work. It's almost like the dress rehearsal for NFL players, that third preseason game. But you also like to see some one-on-one blocking because that's where you'll find out what you really have.
He's Matt Bowen from the Chicago Tribune, the National Football Post. You know, Matt, I was looking at down through some numbers yesterday, just going over some stuff before the start of the season, and I wanted to see where the Bears were in games where they won by a touchdown or less with Jay Cutler versus without him. And not surprisingly, they were 3-0 with Jay, and they were 1-3 without him, the only one being the final game of the season against Minnesota. Obviously, when you have a quarterback and when you have a guy that is the caliber of Cutler, you're going to be much better in closer games. As you look at that team and you talk about making a jump from what they did last year, obviously it starts with Jay being healthy, but if they can win close games like that, they're going to be an awful good team. They're going to be a team that that does win 11 games, 10 games, 12 games, somewhere in that range, if indeed they can get that done. Do you see elements of that? I mean, just based on Jay being on the field and being as in command as he appeared to be in that preseason game.
Yeah, because I think if you're talking about close games in the NFL, it usually comes down to about two plays in the second half. That's what it really is. I mean, it's either two big plays or two crucial situations. And you saw, what was it, the first play of the game the other night, when Jay came in the line of scrimmage and saw Brandon Marshall in press coverage. Say, no, I'm going to throw the ball down the field because I think my guy is better than their guy. And it turns out Brandon was. And you can do that type of stuff. And what I mean by that is think about the second half of a football game. You have 3rd and 7. You have 3rd and 8. Those are the plays you have to make. You want to win close games in the NFL, you can't punt in those situations. Or you're talking about protecting a lead and there's 4 minutes left in the game and you got 3rd and 3 and you want to run the football. Those are the plays you got to make. And when you have a quarterback, though, that can go to the line of scrimmage and say, look, it's 3rd and 7. They're playing off coverage. I know I could throw the slant to Brandon. I know that's not called in the huddle, but I like this play. I like my guy better than theirs. That's where I'm going with the ball. There you go. Move the sticks. You know, burn another 3 minutes off the clock. But it's always those crucial plays in the second half. And when you have a quarterback that has complete control of the offense, we see it in New England, we see it in New Orleans, we see it in Green Bay. when they come to the line, they say, look, I don't like this front. I don't like this coverage. I'm going to change the play. I'm going to convert this drive for my offense. We're going to, you know, run out the clock. That's what you have with Jay. It looks like in this new offense.
I don't know if Brandon Marshall was playing to the Penn and Mike Club yesterday, Matt, but I did like what he said when asked about his performance. Everyone's, you know, giddy about this offense and what the possibilities are because of what you saw Saturday night. But I like the fact that he said, well, when I look at film, there's a bunch of little things that you guys probably didn't see that I know I didn't do right. So, you know, I hope it's not just, you know, talk that sounds good in front of the cameras. I hope he actually does believe that, you know, he can get a hell of a lot better too.
No, I believe him because as a player, you go in and watch film. You might come off the field Sunday and say, man, I played like a pro bowler. And you go in and watch the film and you really didn't. You know, perception is never reality immediately after a ball game. You know, you think you did something great, and it's the flip side, too. Sometimes you think, you know what, I really struggled in that series. You go in and watch the tape, and you didn't. So it's usually somewhere in the middle. You never play a perfect game. You're never perfect as a player. There's always something you can correct. There's always something you can get better at. That's why I talked about last week with the guys with Brian not being on the field. He's missing those little things. Even as a 10-year veteran, you can always get better. That's what the preseason is really for. Yes, you want to come out healthy, but you also want to get some rhythm to your offense, which the Bears had the other night. Defensively, they got some pressure. They forced turnovers again. You do those little things in the preseason, you'll get better as a player.
Can they stop the run?
Without Brian? That's the question. Because here's the thing, Mike, is the Bears want to play cover two, and cover two is only seven guys in the box.
Right.
Okay, if you can do that, which the Bears have done in the past, that's what has made them good defensively. They said, look, you guys want to run the ball, it's fine. We'll stop them with seven guys. Because we have a defensive front that can split double teams, that can keep guys off our middle linebacker. He can run to the football and make plays. Now you're in second eight. You try to run it again, fine. Now you're in third and seven. We're going to play cover two the rest of the afternoon. You're not getting anything down the field. But without Brian, that's the question. If he's not there to start the season, there'll be a lot of pressure on Nick Roach to stop the run.
And you know, we saw Geno Hayes. They were kind of running at him. That didn't work too well. We saw the first play of the game. I mean, you got a sixth-round draft pick running over your Pro Bowl middle outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a little bit rough. I mean, and again, they abandoned the run pretty quickly, but it'll be interesting to see how teams approach that if, indeed, you're without Brian for a long period of time.
Yeah, and you bring up Geno Hayes. That's Sam linebacker in this defense.
Yeah.
It's not a glorified position, okay? You don't make a bunch of highlight plays like Lance and Brian.
Yeah.
You take on blocks all day.
Right.
It's tough work.
The tight end is hitting you pretty much every down.
Yeah, but you got to have a stud there. You got to have a guy that stays healthy, and by the fourth quarter is still able to hit that tight end, still able to drop his shoulder on a pulling guard and cause a pile so Brian can run to the ball. So that's tough work, too.
All right. Thanks very much, Matt. Great catching up with you.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Take care,
Matt. Matt Bowen of the Chicago Tribune, of course, covering the Bears for the Score and the pregame show, postgame show, rather, and NFPost.com as well. It's Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.